This week's CD is going to be on Parshas Sazria, and in Parshas Sazria we have the rules of a tzoras, of a blemish. Tzoras is normally mistranslated as leprosy. In a previous shir, I discussed the idea if it was contagious or not, but mainly tzoras is a physical manifestation of a spiritual sickness, meaning when you would have committed a certain sins or done certain behavior, then you'd have gotten tzoras. And the main idea of tzoras is that you get this blemish on your skin, and depending on what and where it is, there is certain rules regarding this blemish. But we are going to discuss here the rule of Baheres. Baheres is a snow-white spot that you get on your skin. And if the spot has two white hairs, then it is a confirmed tzoras. And then the rule is that if the white spot on your skin came before white hairs would grow on this Baheres, then the Baheres would become tome, and that was a sign of a tzoras. But if it was the opposite, meaning that if the white hairs came first and then the white spot came, then it was not considered a tzoras, it was considered tor, it was pure. We are going to discuss this idea, but mainly we are going to discuss what is written in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Vav 86a. The Gemara there relates the greatness of the Amoraim, and the Gemara there says, in the name of Rav Kahana, that Rav Kahana once was related to him by Rav Chama, the grandson of Chasa, that Rabbe Bar Nachmani, which normally is known as Rabbe throughout Shas, he chose death because of religious persecution. Meaning that he was encountered with religious persecution, he chose, instead of going through the pains, death. The Gemara tells a story that the people maligned Rabbe in front of the government, meaning they spoke bad about him in front of the government. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Nun Gimel 153a, explains that Rabbe was hated by the people of Pompidusa because Rabbi always to chastise him and always rebuke him. Therefore, the people of Pompidusa hated Rabbe so much so that Abaya says that a person like you that is hated throughout Pompidusa, who is going to come and eulogize you? And Rabbi answered that it is enough for me that you, Abaya, come and Rabbi Bar-Hanan comes to eulogize me. That would be enough. I don't need that the people eulogize me. And since he was hated so much by the people of Pompidusa, one of them came into government and he told the government Aloshen Hara and said that Rabbi was keeping the people idle for 2 months in the year, meaning he was keeping 12,000 Jewish people from working 2 months in the year. Rashi explains that the people used to come to Rabbah to learn the halachas in the month of Nisan, to find out how to behave on Pesach, and also before Tishrei, to find out how to behave in the holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Because of that, they used to learn all day. Since they learned all day, they didn't earn an income. If they don't earn an income, they don't pay taxes. And therefore, they came in front of the government and they said that there is a Jew which is responsible for 12,000 people not paying taxes in the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei. The government was upset, so the government made a decree that they should find Rabbe Bar Nachmani, which is Rabbe, and they could not find him. The Gemara says that Rabbe had to run away from Pompidusa to Acre, and from Acre to Agama, and to Agama to Shichin, and to Shichin to Tzrifa, and to Tzrifa later the Maya, and from Eder Maya he went back to Pompidusa. At Pompidusa, it happens that the royal emissary was in the same inn where Rabbe was staying, and so happens that they brought 2 cups of wine in front of the emissary, and because he drank 2 cups of wine, he was endangered, because the Gemara in Psachim Daf 109b explains that there is a danger when you drink in pairs, that is called zugois, because then there is a demon that stays and he's able to take hold of you, and because this emissary drank 2 cups of wine, he was in danger. Rabbi saw that this emissary was in danger. He quickly tells the innkeeper to bring another cup of wine, because now it's not going to be Zugoi's pears anymore, because he didn't drink 2, he drank 3, and 3 annuls the pear, thereby saving this emissary's life. The king emissary, realizing that the great man that saved them must be Rabbi Bar Nachmane, said that, "I know that Rabbi Bar Nachmane is there, and even if they are going to kill me, I won't disclose where he is, but you should know that if they start giving me lashes, then I'll have no choice. I'll have to disclose it, because I want to be able to withstand the pain." And the Gemara continues and says that Rabbi Bar Nachmane was found out. The Gemara doesn't say if this emissary actually was tortured and said, but right afterwards Rabbi Bar Nachmane was given over to the government, meaning they arrested him, put him in jail, and they locked the door behind him. He prayed to Hashem, and Hashem made a miracle that the wall fell. Once the wall fell, Rabbi Bar Nachmane ran away and he decided to go to a swamp. And the Gemara says clearly that Hava Yosef Agirda the Dikula, he was sitting on a stump of a palm tree. We are going to ask what is the meaning of sitting in the stump of a palm tree. Who cares where he was sitting? The Gemara could have just said that he ran away to a swamp and he was learning, but the Gemara makes a point to say that he was sitting on top of a stump of a palm tree and learning. The Gemara continues, which now has to do with this week's Parsha, that there was an argument in the heavenly court. We know the halacha, as we mentioned, that if baheres, if that white spot comes before the growth of 2 hairs, then the person is tame. But if the growth of 2 white hairs come before the white spot, then the person is tahar. What happens if it's a suffix? If we are doubtful if the hairs came before or the hairs came later, then there is an argument in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer Tahar. The Gemara says that Hashem says that in case of doubt, it's tahar, it's clean. But V'chule Mesifte Derekia, but the whole academy in heaven, meaning all the rabbis that are in heaven, Omre, they say, Tomeh, it's Tomeh. So we have an argument with Hashem against all the rabbis. Hashem says, Tor, and all the rabbis say, it's Tomeh. They ask, Man Noichach, who should decide this argument? The Gemara said that they decided that the person that should answer this argument is Rabbi Bar Nachmane, because Rabbi Bar Nachmane said, Ani Yochid Benegoim, I'm unique in my knowledge of Negoim, of the afflictions, Ani Yochid Beholois, and I'm unique with my knowledge of the laws of Oiholos, of tents, which tent is Tomeh, which tent is Tor, if you find a Tumah in a tent. Then it was agreed in heaven that Rabbi Bar Nachmane is going to be the rabbi that is going to decide what is the halacha in case of a doubtful baheres, in case you don't know when the hairs came into this tzoras, into this plague. The Gemara says that they tried to send a messenger to get him. However, the angel of death could not approach Rabbi Bar Nachmane, because Rabbi Bar Nachmane would not stop his mouth from learning, and whenever you are always learning, the angel of death cannot reach you. And the simple explanation is that they needed to summon Rabbi Bar Nachmane to heavenly court to say what the psak is, and in order to bring him to the heavenly court, they would have to kill him, because only that way he could come in front of the heavenly court. But since he was learning all the time, the angel of death had no power over him, and they couldn't bring him to the heavenly court. Then what did the angel of death do? The angel of death, Gemara says, made some wind blow, and he made a huge noise coming between the reeds. So Rabbi Bar Nachmane thought that they sending a brigade of horsemen to come to arrest him, meaning he was arrested once and he escaped. now they found them and they're sending a brigade of horsemen, then Rabbi Barachmani said, I would rather die than being given over to the government. He prayed to die, and before he died, he said, Tohar, Tohar, clean, clean, thereby deciding the argument between Hashem and the other rabbis in heaven, that in case of a doubtful nega, it is considered clean. The Gemara says that a heavenly voice came out and says, Ashrecha Rabbi Banachmani, praised are you, Rabbi Banachmani, Shegufcha Tor, that your whole body is Tor, then your neshama went out by you pronouncing the word Tor. Before we finish analyzing this Gemara, we are going to give the continuation of the Gemara, which the Gemara says that a note fell from heaven into the yeshiva in Pompidusa, where Rabbi Banachmani was the Rosh Yeshiva, and it said that Rabbi Banachmani in his Bakesh B'Yeshiva Shalmala, that Rabbi Banachmani was asked to go to the heavenly court, meaning that he died. The Gemara says that Abaye, Rav, and all the rabbis came to try to bury Rabbi Banachmani, but they didn't know where his body lay. They went into the swamp and they saw the birds that are staying stationary in one place and they have their wings spread in order to cause shade to something. Then they realized that it must be that there is Rabbi Banachmani, and they found Rabbi Banachmani. We are going to also try to understand what is this idea that Hashem sent birds which were stationary to provide shade for Rabbi Banachmani. If Hashem did it only and exclusively for them to know where Rabbi Banachmani is, in the same way that when a note fell from heaven to say that Rabbi Banachmani died, the note could have given exactly the place where Rabbi Banachmani was. What was the point of having these birds stationary in heaven providing shade to Rabbi Banachmani in order for the people to understand? It would have been much easier if a note fell from heaven and told them exactly where Rabbi Banachmani's body was. What is the symbolism of the birds stationary providing Rabbi Banachmani shade? The Gemara says that they eulogized him for 3 days and three nights. Still fell a note from heaven and said that anybody who leaves will be excommunicated, meaning it's not enough covered for Rabbi Banachmani just to eulogize him for 3 days. They eulogize him 7 days, then came a note from heaven and says, Lechu leveischem lesholim, go to your house in peace. Meaning Hashem really wanted that Rabbi Banachmani should be given the proper honor and that people should eulogize him for 7 days. But now we are going to go back to the Gemara and try to analyze this whole Gemara. First, we have to understand that the heavenly court has an argument with Hashem. The Ein Yaakov first says that he doesn't understand the argument. Since we know that Hashem follows the Torah, and in the Torah there is a rule, Achre Rabim Lahatois, that you require to follow majority, then what is the argument how the halacha is? Since Hashem, in one hand, is a single entity, and then we have all the rabbis saying it's Tame, then we should follow majority and say it's Tame, and not regard to Hashem's answer of Tor, where the Ein Yaakov answers according to the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yud Dalet Amet Aleph 14a, where the Gemara there is discussing if the Beis Shammai acted like their decision or they followed the Beis Hillel decision. The Gemara there says that it could be that they acted like their decision. The Gemara asks, how can they act like the decision when we have the rule that we follow majority? The Gemara answers, Ki azlinen bosa ruba, you know when we follow majority, eche dechi hadodrinu, when they are all the same, meaning when both rabbis in both sides of the issue are of the same intellect. Oche, but here in our case, we know that Beis Shammai mechad de tvei, that Beis Shammai are sharper, meaning Beis Shammai's intellect was much stronger. Therefore, even though Beis Hillel were more numerous, still we don't follow the halacha like the Beis Hillel, because we follow somebody whose intellect is stronger. Therefore, the Gemara said, that the heavenly voice had to proclaim that the Beis Hillel are the ones that are right, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Without the heavenly voice, we wouldn't know how to resolve the issue, because in one side we have one that is more numerous, which is the Beis Hillel, and the other side we have the Beis Shammai, which is sharper. Therefore, the Bas Kol, the heavenly voice, came and said that we should still follow, in this case, the one that's more numerous. Therefore, says the Ein Yaakov, this could also be the difference between Hashem and the rabbis. The rabbis, in fact, were more numerous, and they said Tomeh, but we cannot always follow the more numerous, we have to follow the one that is sharper. And we know that Hashem is definitely sharper than all the rabbis put together. Therefore, it could be that in this case, we do not follow the more numerous, we follow Hashem. Therefore, there was a doubt in heaven if we follow the more numerous, which is the rabbis, and said Tomeh, or we follow Hashem, which says Tor, since Hashem is sharper, since they didn't know how to resolve the issue, they went to Rabbi Bar Nachmani to answer and resolve how we decide in this case. The other question that is not understandable is why, when they need a decision, do they come to Rabbi Bar Nachmani to answer the question? Meaning, clearly, when the Gemara says that all the rabbis in heaven said Istameh, then including in all the rabbis in heaven are great personalities, including Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Dayanim that were in the previous generations, then why they are not good enough to decide, and only Rabbi Bar Nachmani is good enough to decide this case? True that Rabbi Bar Nachmani said that I am unique in Negoim and Aholos regarding the laws of Negoim and regarding the laws of Aholos, but still there must have been holier people in heaven that also know these halachas. Specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu clearly also knows these halachas. Then why is only the decision of Rabbi Bar Barchona binding and not the decision of the previous Zekenim? And the simple answer we could say is because since Rabbi Bar Nachmani is alive, and we have a rule that once Torah was given into earth, then Torah loy bashamayim, meaning that the ability to decide the Torah is not in heaven anymore, is in earth. And that is the way that we must explain the argument between the angels and Moshe Rabbeinu in Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, Omed Beis, 88 Bay, where the Gemara there says that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come to heaven to receive the Torah, the angels asked Hashem, Mali lud isha beinenu, what is a man born from a woman doing amongst us? And Hashem said that he came to receive the Torah. Then the angels argued, Hamuda ganuza, this hidden treasure that's hidden for 974 generations before the world was created, and you want to give to mankind? Me enosh kisit krenu, what is man that you should remember him? Even Adam kisif kedenu, what is the son of man that you should recall him? Meaning, why do the Jewish people deserve the Torah? And they said, Hashem Adonenu, Madeshimcha b'chol ha'oretz, Hashem, our master, how grand is your name in the earth, Asher tna hoitcha Elohim, bestow your glory into the heavens, meaning let the Torah be in heaven. And Hashem asks Moshe Rabbeinu to give an answer, and Moshe Rabbeinu argues that the Torah doesn't apply to the angels, and he goes through the Ten Commandments, and he shows that all the Ten Commandments does not apply to the angels. But Mefarshim are bothered by the whole argument between Moshe and the angels, what difference where the Torah is. The Torah is described as lekach toiv, as a goodbye, meaning that normally when you buy something or you sell something, you either lose money or you lose the object. But by the Torah, you could have Torah and give Torah to somebody else, you still haven't lost the Torah, because the knowledge of Torah stays with you. Meaning that you could have Torah and teach other people Torah, and you still did not lose the object. Therefore, the Torah is lekach toiv, a good buy, a good receiving, because you could give it away and you still have it. Then the question is, what is the argument between the angels and Moshe Rabbeinu? The Torah could be in heaven, and we could learn the Torah, and yet the angels did not lose the Torah. And the opposite, if the Torah is given on earth, we could learn Torah, and the angels could learn Torah, and yet we did not lose the Torah. Then what is the argument where the Torah is? The angels were so upset that the Jewish people are going to receive the Torah. What's the difference? The Torah could be in heaven, and we could still learn Torah, and we still have Torah. Then what's the difference where the Torah is? And Mefarshim explain that Moshe Rabbeinu was making the decision that only the person who could keep the Torah, he's the one who could make the decisions of the Torah. Meaning, the argument wasn't where the Torah is going to be or who is going to learn Torah. The argument was who is going to make the decisions of Torah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said that you angels, since the Torah does not apply to you, you cannot be the ones to decide the halacha in the Torah. Therefore, once the Torah was given to mankind, we say Torah lo b'shamayim, meaning Torah is not in heaven anymore. It doesn't mean that in heaven they don't learn Torah. Clearly, they learn Torah because in our case, Hashem is arguing with the Zakenim at Torah point. Then we must say when it says Torah lo b'shamayim, that Torah is not in heaven, it means that the decision of Torah has to come from somebody on earth. Therefore, they came to Rabbi Bar Nachmani to decide the case. But the question is, if that is true, why is the angel of death trying to kill Rabbi Bar Nachmani? If the only way that he could give the Torah opinion is while he's alive, then how can the angel of death try to kill Rabbi Bar Nachmani? If you'd kill Rabbi Bar Nachmani, then Rabbi Bar Nachmani could not give the Torah opinion anymore. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam in Ilchos Tumas Tzoras, Perik Sheni, Halacha number 9, paskens that in case of doubt, meaning if I don't know if the hair comes first or the discoloration came first, he paskens that in that case it's Tomeh like the rabbis did. Not like Hashem decided that it's Tor, only as the rabbis did, and not like Rabbi Bar Nachmani who said Tor, Tor, two times Tor, which implies that he's answering that it's Tor, he paskens still that it's Tomeh. And the case of Mishnah explains why is the Rambam's decision that way. And he answers, because Torah loy bashamayim, Torah is not in heaven. Meaning that since the Torah is not in heaven, we have to follow majority opinion, or we have to follow Lechumra. Therefore, we follow that it is Tomeh. And the Shalos Etshuvos Chasam Sofer in Or HaChaim 208 also explains, even if I say that Rabbi Bar Bachana uttered these words before he died, and then he was not Torah lo b'shamayim, it was Torah here on earth, because before he died, he uttered those words, Tor, Tor, which implies that he was ruling on the question that was put in heaven. But the Chasam Sofer says, since nobody heard this ruling, obviously it was communicated to the rabbis about the words that he uttered, either through a note from heaven or through a prophecy that another rabbi received, because nobody was present when Rabbi Bar Nachmani died, since they didn't even know where his body was buried. Then clearly, even though he may have pronounced this while he was alive, but the story had to come to us via a heavenly messenger. And on that case, we still say, Torah loy bashamayim, Torah is not in heaven. Then if that is true, we'll have to understand what is the purpose of asking Rabbi Bar Nachmani to be the one that is going to answer the question. And even if we found him answering the question, clearly we seem not to pasken the way our Rabbi Bar Nachmani paskened, because we have a clear contradiction with the Rambam. Then how do we reconcile both opinions? Another question we are going to ask is that the Ramban in chapter 47, verse number 13, explains that tzoras is not something in nature, and there is not something that's a disease of this world, and so the negoim in the houses, the blemishes in the houses, are also something spiritual. But since the Jewish people were complete with Hashem, and Hashem was always connected with them, Hashem would give them a sign that they are not doing something right, that there is a sin, and through that sign the person would repent and then the blemish would leave. The question is, if that is the explanation of Negoim, then we understand why Hashem would give a real Nega. But why would Hashem give on a person a Sophic Nega? Why would Hashem make it that it should be a doubt regarding the Nega, if the Nega is good or not? It should not be a doubt at all. Either the person requires to work on himself, or he doesn't require to work on himself. Then why does Hashem give a person a Sophic Nega, a doubtful Nega, and then we have to have this argument in heaven about the rule? Since the whole idea is a spiritual idea, then we should either have it or don't have it. Why have something that is in doubt? We are going to try to answer this question, and some of the answers are going to be based on Sefer Shemeroish, where Sefer Shemeroish says that a lot of times a person does something, and whatever he does is not completely either good or bad, and there is room to judge either for the good or for the bad. For example, a person does something and he did not understand what the consequences of his action are going to be, and because he did this, the consequences ended up being bad. Or a lot of times a person is pushed into a corner and he acts in this way, meaning that he wasn't acting on his own free will, he was acting because he was a oinus, he was doing it almost under duress. And a lot of times, depending who does the action, the judgment is going to be harsher, meaning if a righteous person does an action which normally this action by a regular person would not be counted as a sin, but because this righteous person did it, it's counted as a sin, because the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Nun 50 says that Melamed Shakodesh Baruch Hu Medakdek Im Chasidav Afilu Kechut Asara, that Hashem is very exacting with his pious people, even if a hair's breadth, meaning that even if he does a minor infraction, Hashem punishes him for this infraction. Sefer Shemeroish explains that when a person does this action, then it's doubtful if he really had the proper intention or not. Then he will get a Sophic Nega. He will get something that is not a complete blemish, because his actions were not totally wrong, but it's not completely tor. It's a Sophic, it's doubtful. Therefore, the tzaddikim that are in the Heavenly Academy, since they are totally separated from the foolishness of this world, and they only have pleasure in the world to come, and they are totally connected to Hashem, and they cannot understand how you could do something against Hashem, because at the level they are totally connected, and they are totally protective of Hashem's honor, and they view any slight against the honor of Hashem, regardless of the reason, regardless of the foresight, as a sin. Therefore, any time there is a doubt about the action of this person, the rabbis in heaven would declare the act bad, and they would declare that this Sophic Nega is Tome. But regarding Hashem, since Hashem knows the troubles the person is going through, Hashem knows what his intention was, Hashem knows how strong the evil inclination of the person is, and Hashem is always looking for a chesed way, for a way of kindness, in order to make the person victorious. Therefore, Hashem declares the Sophic Nega, the doubtful Nega, that it is tor. Hashem does not view it as tome, Hashem views it as tor. And according to this interpretation, we understand now why we do not follow majority, because since we are dealing with a different circumstances of cases, then they are not ruling in regards to the same thing, because the majority cannot see what Hashem sees, meaning what Hashem sees in regards to this sin. Therefore, in this case, we cannot really follow majority, because it's a different circumstance altogether. But what we could do is we could have a person that went through a lot of trouble in his life, a person who had a lot of adversity, and that person would understand how another human being may feel when he does this doubtful sin. Therefore, they decided that they're going to give Rabbi Bar Nachmani to be the judge in this case. And they specifically picked Rabbi Bar Nachmani because Rabbi Bar Nachmani had a short life full of pains. As the Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Kof Ches 28 says, that Omar Rava says, Chaye, long life, Bane, children, Umezoine, and the livelihood of a person, Lav Bischusa Talia Milsa, it's not dependent on the merit of a person, meaning that if a person has more merits, he will get it, and if he doesn't have merit, he won't get it. Elo Bimazolo Talia Milsa, it's all dependent in your mazel, in your star system, and the way and the time that you were born. And he brings proof. The Rabbe v'Rav Chisda, Rabbe and Rav Chisda, Travayo Rabbanon Tzadikave, are two very righteous rabbis. How do I know they are very righteous rabbis? That Mar Matzlev Asamitra, that one would pray and rain would come, Umar Matzlev Asamitra, and the other one would pray and rain would come, meaning both of them would pray and rain would come. But yet, Rav Chisda Chaya Tishav Tartin Shnin, Rav Chisda lived 92 years, and Rabbi Chaya Arboin, but Rabbi only lived 40 years. Bei Rav Chisda Shitin Halule, in the house of Rav Chisda they made 60 weddings, but Bei Rabbi, the house of Rabbi Shitin Tachle, they made 60 shrouds, meaning that 60 people died in his house. Bei Rav Chisda, in the house of Rav Chisda, Nahama the Smida Lekalbe Veloy Mitbar, they used to give fine flour to the dog, and the dog did not want to eat because he was too finicky to eat. And yet, Bei Rabbi, in the house of Rabbi, Nahama the Sara Leinsha, they used to give barley bread to people, meaning the best they could do is give barley bread, which is animal food, but Veloy Mishtakach, and yet you couldn't even find that. So we see that Rabbi Bar Nachmani, Rabbi, was very poor. He lost a lot of children, and also he didn't have panasa. And as we mentioned previously, the whole town hated him too, because he used to rebuke the people so much that he was worried that nobody is going to eulogize him. And that could also be the meaning that Rabbi Bar Nachmani says, that ani echot benegoim ve'echot be'olois, that I'm one in negoim and one in tents. It could mean that I'm unique in the goyim, because I'm unique in getting nega, in getting punished, in getting afflictions, because he had so much trouble. And he is unique in the holos, because he had so many deaths in his family, that he became an expert in the laws of tents, meaning in the laws of tumas coming to a tent because of the deaths that he had in his family. And therefore he is the one that is able to judge another Jew, because he will look favorably and he will look at the adversity and judge him according to that, because he understands adversity. In Sefer Nesiv Mitzvasecho, in the Agdoma, brings from the Baal Shem Tov that it is a very dangerous thing that a person who could even speak directly to Hashem, learn Torah from Hashem, that he could get to the level of Gaiva, to the level of haughtiness. And he explains also that the Rivash, before he died from the world, he prayed to Hashem that he should not get gaiva, should not get haughtiness. Because since they show a person all that he gained, and they showed his portion into Gan Eden, he could get at that point gaiva. He could become haughty for a few moments, because he will see how much he accomplished in this world, and he'll rejoice for all the accomplishment, where he won't think about his connection to Hashem. And somebody who is haughty cannot get close to Hashem. Therefore, they all prayed not to get haughty. And he also brings that the Arizal also prayed before his death that he should not get haughty while he makes a transition between life and death. Therefore, because the Heavenly Academy is going to ask Rabbi Bar Nachmani to decide a case between Hashem and the Heavenly Academy, then this clearly would give Rabbi Ben Nachmani a chance to become Hati, because even Hashem is asking him and becomes bound by his opinion. Therefore, right after it says, Shadru Shliche Basrei, after they send a messenger, after Rabbi Ben Nachmani, for Rabbi Ben Nachmani to render his opinion while Rabbi Ben Nachmani is still alive, right afterwards we'll need to have the Malach HaMavos to kill him, because it's impossible for a person in this position, and they didn't want to make a stumbling block in front of Rabbi Ben Nachmani. Therefore, if they are going to send him for his opinion, then they will have no choice, they'll have to send the Malach HaMavos right after him. And therefore, when Rabbi Ben Nachmani said Tahor, Tahor, which he rendered the opinion that in the case of doubt, it should be Tahor, came out a baskol, a heavenly voice, which proclaimed and said, Ashrecho, Rabbi Ben Nachmani, praised are you, Rabbi Ben Nachmani, that gufcha Tahor, that your body is Tahor, and your soul left you in purity, which means that you did not contaminate your soul by haughtiness, even though you rendered the opinion in front of the academy. And we asked before, how is it possible that we should ask him, since we know Torah lo b'shamayim, Torah is not in heaven? The Iyun Yaakov brings an answer that he heard from Shem Gadol Echad, and he doesn't mention who the Gadol is, that in truth, Rabbi Ben Nachmani was giving the answer, and he was giving a proper answer even according to the Rambam. We mentioned that the Rambam holds that Sofik Nega is Tameh, but according to the Iyun Yaakov, that is not universal. Meaning that Rabbi Ben Nachmani answered Tahor, Tahor, two times the word Tahor. Why does he have to answer two times the word Tahor? Therefore, the Iyun Yaakov explained that Rabbi Ben Nachmani wanted to say that if the person has a chazak of Tor, if the person always is righteous, and now you have a doubt about his action, if he did properly or not, then in that case it's Tor, because you could go after his chazak, you could go after his predestination, what he was till now. But if he was Tomeh, if he was already impure, then the doubt would not remove the impurity, and even in the case of doubt, he's still considered impure. Therefore, he said Tahor, if he was Tahor until now, then Tahor is going to continue to be Tahor. Not that is universally every time there is a Sofik is Tahor, because that's not true. As the Rambam clearly points out, that Sofik Nega is Tomeh. But if he has a Chazak until now Tahor, then according to what the Iyun Yaakov says, the Rambam would also agree that that place is Tahor, and that is based on the ruling of Rabbi Ben Nachmani, which they accepted. Again, the Iyun Yaakov basically says that Rabbi Ben Nachmani ruled that when you have a chazaka, the doubt cannot push away the chazaka. Meaning when you have an assumption, you have a status quo, then the doubt of Tumah does not push away the status quo. Meaning that if you were before Tahor, if you were pure before, then the doubt would not change the status quo, and you are still considered Tahor. But if you were previously Tameh, and now you have a doubt regarding the Nega, then the doubt would not push away the presumption of the status quo, and you are considered Tameh. Therefore, Rabbi Ben Nachmani said, Tahor, if he had a presumption, a chazakah of Tahor, then the doubt would cause him to become Tahor. But if he had a presumption of Tameh, then it is like the Rambam, that in fact a person becomes Tameh. And now we are going to try to explain why Rabbi Ben Nachmani sat on a stump of a date tree, and why Rabbi Ben Nachmani specifically asked to be killed when confronted with the government trying to seize him, and why they specifically showed to the rabbis that Rabbi Ben Nachmani is buried in a certain place by having birds stationary putting their shadow over Rabbi Ben Nachmani. And we'll answer this question based on the Shalos Tshuvos Chassam Sofer in Yoredeya, where there the Chassam Sofer brings the pasuk in the Brachas, which is in the Devarim, chapter 28, verse number 9, where Hashem says that Yikimcho Hashem Loi Lam Kadosh, Hashem will establish you as a holy nation, Kasher Nishbalach, as He promised you, Kisishmur Es Mitzvah Hashem Lekecho, when you are going to maintain the mitzvahs of Hashem, v'lachto b'dvachov, and you will walk in His path. V'ra'u kol ha'me'oretz k'shem Hashem nikra alecho, and the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is on you, v'yaru mimecha, and they will fear you. And now the pasuk says, v'yisircha Hashem letoiva, be free vitnecha. The normal translation is v'yisircha Hashem, that Hashem will give bountiful good, be free vitnecha, with your children. But the Chasam Sofer notes that the word v'yisircha comes from the word noisar, that Hashem will remind you, will make you remain a small portion, as it's written in the pasuk, v'noisar mimenu ad boiker, anything that remains from mourning, from the sacrifices. Then the word v'yisircha, which means Hashem will remain you, will let you remain for the good, b'fri vitnecha, by your children. And the Chasam Sofer wants to explain what is the meaning of this pasuk. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that the Rambam writes down to his son, Rabbi Avraham, and he writes there that a person, when he is in this lowly world, he has no menucha, he has no rest, and praise is the person that is able to accomplish very quickly his mission and die very quickly, because like that he doesn't have to stay in this world and is able to go quickly to the world to come. Because this world is only a preparation for the world to come, like the Mishnah in Avos in the 4th Perek, Mishnah 21 says, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, that Haskin Asmecha Beprozdoir, prepare yourself in the lobby, Kadesh Tikonas Atarkalin, in order for you to be able to get into the palace, meaning that this world is like a lobby, and it's only a preparation for you to be able to get into the palace. That means that the Rambam told his son that if you are able to accomplish your mission in a short time, then you are better off, because staying in this world is not a good thing. It's full of trouble and there is no rest. And therefore, praise is the person that is able to accomplish his mission in a very short time. The Chasam Sofer asks that we see a lot of older people who definitely fulfill their mission while they are young, and yet Hashem still maintains them in this world. So then what is the purpose for them being in this world? The Chasam Sofer answers that even when a person is able to accomplish everything in a short time, Hashem still makes him remain in this world in order to be a source of inspiration to his children, to other people, in order for other people to be able to enjoy this person's Torah, in order that other people should emulate this person. Meaning that even though a person accomplished everything in this world, still Hashem maintains him in this world in order for other people to learn from him, in order for him to be an example for other people or for his children. And that is what is meant in the pasuk, that if you follow the word of Hashem, then voisircha Hashem letoiva, Hashem is going to make you remain here in this world for the good, bifrivitnecha, by your children, meaning that your children should learn from you, should see you, and you should be the example for your children. Not because you didn't accomplish what you need to accomplish. The only reason you remain here is letoivo, to be good for privitnecha, for your children. According to this, Sefer Shemirosh explains that Rabbi Bar Nachmana is a tzaddik, and a tzaddik is signified in Tehillim 91, Katomar Ifrach will flourish like a date tree, which means that a date tree gives fruit, so too a tzaddik gives fruit. And the fruit of a tzaddik is when he's able to teach. Therefore, Rabbi Bar Nachmani was such a holy person that for sure he accomplished everything he needed to accomplish in a very short time. And his whole purpose of remaining in this world was only in order for him to teach other people. But once the government took hold of him and the government would not let him teach because they would lock him up, and he was able to escape the first time by a miracle that the wall collapsed. Therefore, he went quickly and he sat in a cut down date tree to show that he can't teach anymore, that he is not able to teach, and he is like a cut down date tree. Therefore, when he heard what he thought was the government officers trying to arrest him again, where he for sure won't be able to teach anymore, then Rabbi Rachmani thought to himself, what is the purpose for me staying alive? I already accomplished what I needed to accomplish in this world, and the only reason for me staying alive is in order to teach others. But if I can teach others, then I would rather die. Therefore, he prayed to die when he thought that the government officials are going to incarcerate him again and he won't be able to teach. And therefore also, in order for everybody to understand that the purpose of Rabbi Bachmani was accomplished and the only reason he was in this world was to teach other people, Hashem made a miracle that the birds, while they were stationary, were giving the shadow in Rabbi Bar Nachmani. And this is based on the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis 16b, where there the Gemara is discussing why a Metzoyre, when he becomes purified, is required to bring two birds. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda ben Levi, Rav Yehuda ben Levi says, Manishtan Metzoyre she'omre Torah yovish tei tziporim l'tahara asay. Why is the Metzoyre different that the Torah says that he is required to bring two birds in order to become purified, as it's written in Vayikra chapter 14, verse number 4, that velokach lametar shtei tziporim chayes toiros, that's supposed to take two clean birds alive. Why does he need to have specifically birds? Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi answers, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Hu oise maase patit, he performs a deed of chattering, meaning that the reason that he became a Metzoyre is because he spoke Lashon Hara, which is the deed of chattering, which is the deed of speaking. Lefikach Amre Torah Yovi Korban Patit. Therefore the Torah says to bring a korban of chattering, meaning birds always are chirping. Therefore the sacrifice of a Metzoyre is specifically something that chirps. So we see that birds signify something that chirps, somebody that talks. Therefore, when Hashem wanted to show all the rabbis that Rabbi Bar Nachmani already accomplished what he needed to accomplish in this world, and the only reason that he was instilling this world was that he needed to teach others, but now that he can't teach others because of the government, therefore Hashem specifically made that the rabbis should see the body of Rabbi Bar Nachmani by placing stationary birds, which stationary birds means that they are not chirping anymore, that they can't teach Torah anymore, that Rabbi Rachmani is not able to teach, and this is what gave the shadow over Rabbi Rachmani for them to realize that Rabbi Rachmani was a holy man. He accomplished everything he needed to accomplish in this world, and the only reason we are still in this world is in order for him to teach others. But now that he cannot teach, therefore the birds are stationary, they can't chirp anymore, and the shadow are going over Rabbi Nachmani to show that now, since he can't teach, we have to take him out of this world. And therefore also, the Baskol says that you should eulogize him the proper way, because he was a very holy person who accomplished everything he needed to accomplish this world, and he was only here in order to teach Torah for others. But now that he can't, Hashem decided to take him away. And Hashem Yisburach should help that Hashem should always view our actions through the chesed way. Our actions should be Torah. Then we'll merit to have the Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.